May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I was thinking this morning about the people who have carried the greatest anointing that I've been around in terms particularly ministering healing, signs and wonders. Those of you who were around, some of you were, Dolores Winder, when she would come to our church, she had, I forget how long, but she had been in her dying condition. Do you remember, Craig? She was like in a body cast, and there was all kinds of stuff. And somebody talked her into letting them take her to a Coleman conference. And I think Catherine just gave some words, something, and Dolores felt like something was going on. She ended up was going to help her go to the bathroom. She met somewhere in the process an orthopedic-type surgeon guy, and she was totally healed. And she had not been able to get out of bed or walk, really, for a long time. Somebody took her there. And so her life for the next 30, 40 years was just sharing about God's desire to heal, the glory that she experienced, the glory that comes, and she just carried such an anointing because it had been her personal experience. Craig experienced some healing in her ministry. A lot of people did. She came here a number of times. She was on the board of Francis McNutt's ministry because that's how renowned she was. I think about stories that I've heard, like Heidi Baker's stories of going into new villages, and the way that she would present the gospel is that she would meet some of the people there, I think some of the leaders, and she would just wash their feet, get down in the dirt, wash their feet, and then ask them, do you have any blind people here or dead people? And they would pray, and blind people would get healed, and dead people would be raised, and the glory of God would come. And, of course, the whole village would give their lives to Christ. That's happened again and again. And so when she and her husband and her family first went there, there was nothing. This Mozambique, they don't even speak normal. They speak Portuguese. It's difficult to do the language there. But I think they've planted probably close to 15,000 churches now. So can you imagine, like, when Lazarus was raised from the dead? Think about when Lazarus was raised from the dead, the glory, when he walked out of that tomb, the glory that was manifested. Just the activity, the character, the presence of God that was just emanating. And we know from the stories in Matthew chapter 12 and before Palm Sunday and then on Palm Sunday that all these people gathered that very next, that night. They had dinner at Lazarus' house. There were a gazillion people that gathered there, not just to see Jesus, who had raised him from the dead, but to see Lazarus, who had been raised from the dead. And then when Palm Sunday, the crowd, the huge multitude of people, were made up of people who had heard about the miracle of Lazarus' resurrection. I mean, it's a big deal. This is in Romans chapter 6. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we were in union with him in his resurrection. So, this is why the enemy blinds Christians to the wonders of the gospel. What if you were someone who God raised from the dead? Do you think that you would be worth anything in terms of ministering to people who were sick and had issues? I mean, do you think you'd carry a childlike faith? Well, here's the deal. You've been raised from the dead. That's what this verse just says. All the stuff, all the news, all the history, all the celebrations that went on around the world, you know, from a couple of billion people who are Christians about Easter because of Jesus' bodily resurrection, because of his resurrection. Well, that was your resurrection. He just says here, the glory of God that raised you from the dead is the glory of God that raised you from the dead. You've experienced being raised from the dead. You're a walking miracle. That's the truth. And therefore, there should be this childlike expectations that we carry that if I've been raised from the dead, so I'm believing God for a headache or for blindness or for whatever, should be nothing. Because I've experienced what it is to be raised from the dead. I've known the glory of God. I still walk in the glory. What we were celebrating yesterday is the glory that still hangs around because of the resurrection of Christ. Well, he wasn't just raised from the dead. You were raised from the dead too. They weren't there just celebrating what Jesus did. They were celebrating who Lazarus was. And so our celebration of Easter, we're now in the Easter season. It's a 50-day party. Isn't just our celebration that he was raised from the dead. Oh, by the way, Bob, you were raised from the dead too that very day. You've been raised from the dead. You've experienced what it is for the glory of God to come and raise you from the dead. That's the truth about us. And therefore, it should not be difficult for us with childlike expectation to steward believing that God wants to do signs and wonders. You are a sign and wonder. I've never had anybody come here and preach who were raised from the dead. Physically, their story. I've had somebody like Dolores who was dying. We've had several that, and their anointing was amazing. It'd be cool to have somebody come here from Mozambique or somewhere else who was raised from the dead. I would imagine they would be kind of hyper about, there'd just be a glory about them. Well, this is the true story about all of us. When you open your mouth and talk to somebody, you're talking to them as someone who's been raised from the dead. He who comes from above is above all. It's where you come from that will determine the kind of authority and anointing that you have. And if you come from a place where you've been set free from depression, miraculously, you have an anointing to talk to people about depression. You believe it. You know it. It's one of the reasons I'm like a broken record, this one-string fiddle. I come from a place where God healed me miraculously from depression and anxiety, and so I know it's real. I'm a walking miracle. I carry the glory of that. Well, it's bigger than that. I've been raised from the dead. And I just can't tell you how thinking that has caused me to realize, Lord, I've been coming from a place too many times of hoping somebody's going to get better. I've been raised from the dead. And my God is not a respecter of persons, so I should be coming across like the Easter Bunny. Just hinds feet on high places, skipping with confident expectation that as one who's been raised from the dead, I don't have a problem praying for you, believing that God's going to do whatever, or believing that you can be set free from depression and anxiety or greed or fear or self-consciousness or whatever. I've got the best testimony of anybody. I've been raised from the dead. So whatever little piddling thing you're still struggling with, I can believe for your wholeness. That's us. And I'm convinced now, if we don't get that, we're not near as dangerous to the world as the devil fears we might become. Millions of people have been raised from the dead, coming from that place, going into the world to bring the healing balm of Jesus. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.